The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Here we go. Here we go. 11-11-24. That's your date for today. Life is a gamble. Call in number 888-329-3306. WWDB 860 AM. Your host, Melvin Prince Jonican. And, you know, that song is so appropriate this week, this day, from this election. Sometimes everybody plays a fool. Everybody plays a fool. Do you realize that the day after Election Day, the world did not blow up? We didn't have no shootouts. We didn't have nobody rioting. We didn't have nobody going crazy like the Democratic Party would lead you to believe that it was going to be mayhem and chaos. It was none of that. Some people who are used to winning took this loss. And they say we just need to rebound again. We need to get back on our feet. We need another plan, a different plan, and we need to take this loss. We've been taking wins. We've been winning for a long time. Was this loss a greater loss than any of the other loss? Probably not. Probably not. Your world's not going to end chaotically unless you were doing things that you should not have been doing. Now you might be exposed. So look, I'm excited. Most of the Republicans like myself are excited. Most of the African-American male Republicans are definitely excited. We've seen this woman as a high risk, and we understand high risk, high reward, but this was a high risk. And so regardless of us getting her name right or getting her name wrong, we don't even have to bother with that now at all. So I am extremely excited. And so, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was, you know, chanting this song, you know, hey, goodbye. But I think that now this is a helping, not a healing, but a helping time here, because the voters have spoke loud. I mean, you're talking about, you know, not just the president and the vice president win. You're talking about a senator that's been in office for 27 years. He lost. You're talking about attorney general position. We reclaim that, auditor general. And I need the Democrats out here to explain to me. If Malcolm Kenyatta, your state rep, ran for governor and loses miserably, then he runs for auditor general and loses miserably, and he only serves 2 years at a time before it's his reelection, well, then how confused are the people in the area who got him in office? Because he couldn't have passed any policies. He could not have brought any money to you guys. He could not have done the due diligence to service his district if he just got in office. A neo at best. And y'all let him run for statewide seats. So I'm going to tell you what. Just so y'all know that this is not a fluke. So we're going to help y'all take Malcolm Kenyatta out of play. We're going to help y'all take Keith Harrison out of play. And I think there's somebody else that we're going to help y'all just take him out of play. So, okay, they may or may not be Republican seats, but if you give us to the general, when we get to the general and any of these seats, we're going to do the due diligence. We're going to spend the money. We're going to involve ourselves in the process. So it's not about what you think you have when it comes to Democrats. It's about who went to the polls and voted, because I think we have enough young people that can care less about Democrat or Republican. What they care is who was going to give us justice, who was going to help us, who was going to perform for us. You're right. You got a committed, obligated group of seniors who are going to vote Democrat no matter what. I get that. The only way that I was able to leverage that bad understanding was to just get more younger people, get them in groups and droves and stuff like that. The Democrats appeared to have people out supporting them, but the polls said something totally different. You guys lost the PA Treasury seats. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 5 or 6 seats you guys lost in this whole state here that you had for at least two election cycles. And I'm telling you, there are more to come. So look, I'm not even going to get into it. Oh, let me tell you my bad store of the week. The T-Mobile in Roxborough, one located at 6024 Ridge Avenue. It's horrible. The manager come out with the cell phone in her hand talking about baby daddy stuff for about 10 minutes. And I'm sitting there and he said hello when I came in. No one looked at me to say hello. They didn't even know if I was bringing my dog in or not. You know, so that was disingenuous. But also, no one addressed me until about 12 minutes after I'm already in the store and I'm sitting down. And so it just went under new management. All the old people that used to be there may have transferred out, but it's a problem. And as a Republican, I'm going to tell you what restaurants that's horrible, what T-Mobile stores that are horrible, what party stores that are horrible. And I'm going to suggest and hope, if not write to the people in the administration or the corporation who owns these stores right here, at least stop patronizing them. Stop patronizing them. Because I don't understand. I walked in Chili's this past week and I had to walk out because I seen 3 adults, 3 different women by themselves with 3 different sets of kids at the table. And everything on the menu said high sodium, dangerously hazard high sodium. And I just couldn't sit there to see them order food for these 4, 7, 8-year-old children, and everything says high sodium. It just irritated me, so I walked out, you know. So look, I look like I have someone on the line. Do I have someone on the line? Okay, let me bring Mike Smith in. Say Mike Smith. Mike, hello? Hello. Mike, I'm going once. Mike, okay, let me just hold on. I'm looking at my producer saying there is someone on the line. But look, let me run this past you guys, because I am not confused, although I am happy. I need for you to tell me how we as Republicans can help the Democrats. I need you to tell me, because I'm listening to all my other stations that I normally listen to, and I find that people are crying, people are whining, people are complaining, people are acting like this is the last stand. You know, I listen to people that are 70 years old and older, and I hear them saying, well, you know, we're doomed, all the stuff that is going to happen to us. And there were some things that, you know, once again, you know, if you're going to take the money from the feds for our schools and put that money locally inside of the school system, I'm all for that. Give me that any day. Take that $800 million that keep going to the feds and take it from out of their department and give each state a chance to mobilize internally and run their school system. Now, if you're also going to take, hold on, let me see if I got a caller. Have a caller? Caller, come in.
Yes, I'm here. It's Shaquita.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Prince?
Oh, man, come on. I was just... You know, when we took the, other than the president, I'm very well. Let me just answer that question. Very, very well now, you know.
All right. That's what I want to know first.
Let's get that out of the way. I am very, very well. And so we took the president and vice president, of course, you know. But here in Pennsylvania, we also unseated a United States senator who's been in there 27 years, Bob Robert Casey. And so going down the list, we also won the attorney general seat. Going down the list, we also won the auditing general seat.
Right.
And then we won the treasurer, PA treasurer seat. All Republicans, all down the aisle.
So we all down the aisle. People spoke about change.
Well, they didn't want it forced down their throat. You realize when young African American males out here have people incarcerated and locked up, and you talking about and they have been found not guilty down the road. And you're talking about folks who have been found guilty that you offering them a whole full operation to change from a male to a female. And you, once you provide the funding for that change, you also have to provide the maintenance for that change. And that's taxpayer dollars. And I think we should have had to say so in that right there. And it just snowballed down from all the other policies. And you had me when she never went to the border as a border czar.
Well, that was major. That was major. But to go back to what you mentioned and you taking the time to listen to your elders from the Democratic Party and their feeling that they're going to be doomed. It's not a thing about being doomed. Our ancestors, and we have to say this, right? Our ancestors went from having no rights to being brought over here, to working hard and then to fighting so that we have rights. They were progressive. And what we did and what we have to remind our current elders is this is what they taught us. They gave us shoulders to stand on, their shoulders. And so we have to be progressive in such a way that we're not allowing exactly what you just shared, where we have our communities being beat down with their sexuality, their educational, whether they can get a good education, whether their education is desegregated or whether it's segregated. Whether we can actually get a job, whether we can actually get access to contracts, and whether people are listening more than they're barking down our throat what we're going to do because they want to keep us programmed and possessed. And we're in a good place right now where I believe the country has heard the wayward media constantly tell us what we should do, what we better not do, what we can't do. And now they understand what people are saying. I am the leader of my own destiny. Mm-hmm. And in order for me to get to where I have to go, I have to know what works for me and what doesn't. And so now the Democrats understand you don't get to pump fear into communities and then tell them what they're going to do as though that they don't have a mind of their own. We get to work this thing out together.
And you need your sons and daughters to be able to dream again. When you make America great, the mistake they were dealing with was based off of what? What ideology was you trying to bring about as a negative connotation when you said make America great again? Make America has been great because we've been able to compete. Make America great has been great because we've been able to thrive and to flourish. And so the ones who are collecting benefits off of America, talking about America has never been great. Well, now, how are you collecting Social Security? How are you even collecting welfare? How are you collecting a pension? Tell me where. Because there were companies, the Ford companies, the GM companies, there were companies that was in America that your grandfathers or great-grandfathers worked at that set up a pension fund for them so you can buy. So the house that you grew up in was purchased by the money that was coming in through these entities. So when they say, well, make America great based off of what? Everybody wasn't in slavery in America. I didn't grow up in that generation where there were two separate water fountains that said white and black and stuff like that. And if you had that kind of exposure, then why didn't you just build your own water fountain?
Well, I think that's the precedent of where we are today, where people have an opportunity to glean from the past and get an understanding of where they want to go for the future. So right now, when we look at, out in the Connecticut area, when I served on the school board, I learned very quickly that it was a three-party system. There were three different books. And also we had segregation.
It's always three different books, man. It's always three different books somewhere. But look, it's 15 after. I'm going to take a two-minute break. I got another call. I want you to hold on. I'm going to see if my producer can keep you on with me while we take the other caller, but I'm going to take a two-minute break and come back.
Somewhere around 400 feet off the ground, an RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. When I first got out, I felt like my whole life had been smushed down to just medical appointments. I was going to occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. I'm not sure I would still be here if I didn't find the Friends and Wounded Warrior Project that I did. Because there was a long period after the injury where I really didn't understand why I was still here. I felt like I had lost everything. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
With macular degeneration, you lose your central vision.
You have a blind spot right in the center of your face, so I can't actually see your face.
So even that little circle in which I could see became a big blur.
I was 65 when I first was diagnosed with glaucoma.
There were no symptoms. I had no headaches.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
You lose mobility. Independence changes your entire life.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
My husband tells me that I have beautiful brown eyes, and I don't want to lose that.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Here we go. You got to Here know we go. When to hold up. Kenny Rogers, that comeback song. Miss Stevenson, are you still there? Miss Stevenson, are you still with me? Okay, my next caller. Hello? Caller, come in. Just hold on a moment. We will bring you in.
Can you hear?
I can hear you. Who am I talking?
Okay.
Miss Stevenson, you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, good. Now we're going to bring our caller in. Hold on one moment. I got a local caller that's called in. I'm looking at a wireless carrier, so it's probably their cell phone. Until they get on board, there was something I wanted to run past you because in the city of Philadelphia, when you listen to other talk radio shows, and I understand that they are frustrated, but I don't know why they're frustrated. Because the poverty that we've lived in and the conditions that we've lived under, something made me extremely happy today. The mayor of New York has instituted an immediate stoppage of all federal obligations to the immigrants who were living inside of the places where they were living at. And so if that is the case, then we need to have other folks follow suit.
Correct. I think what's going to happen right now is that all of the policies and everything that was being put in place, whether they were legal or illegal, I think all of those things are being rolled back. I think communities are now taking a look at what's best and what's right for them. I'm going to give you a prime example, and I'll be quick about it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the fact that their fathers who owe child support, they come home from being incarcerated. And as soon as they get home, they're back in court with the potential of going back to jail because they can't afford the child support.
Right.
Yet we had illegal aliens that came in illegally. They were able to receive free housing. They were able to receive food stamps. And then in some cases, they were able to be placed in employment, you know, very quickly. That doesn't happen with fathers that are Latino or Black that are here within our community.
That's something. Let me just run this past you. If this was a law, right? This was a law, it would be a precedent. So we would have something in order to follow, in order to implement if we were to go to court again, correct? So now you mean this is not, you didn't set the precedent in reference to you know you have money or you found money from wherever it came from that you were able to house. If they say 8 million, you've done a great job in these 8 million folks having. I even seen some bragging on TikTok about receiving the money, about having the money and stuff like that. And so,
well, just think about it this way. Just about it, we got to look at it this way as well. Many of them were sent over here knowing that they were going to receive funds. And many of them take a look at, I guarantee you, nobody's taking a look at the uptick in Western Union or the amount of money that's being sent back to the country that people are saying that they've been trying to get away from. So now individuals have been able to collect taxpayers' dollars here and then build many mansions back in the communities that they say that they fled from, and also have bank accounts, which helps to build up their government while we've depleted our government and our taxpayers.
Mm. Well, hold that thought. I think I got Brian on the line. Brian, are you there?
Hey, Prince, I am here.
Hey, welcome, man. Thank you for calling. Life is a gamble, Brian. I appreciate it. On WWDB, 860 AM.
I will call every chance I get. I'll give you a call, buddy. I say I love your show.
Well, my co-host, Mrs. Stevenson, I'm sure you spoke with her last time you had called in. She's on the line as well.
Hi, Brian. Absolutely. How are you?
It's so good to hear your voice again. You guys did a hell of a job predicting 2 weeks ago, the last time I called in. Unfortunately, last Monday, I was not able to get on the call, but you guys did a great job. Prince, you forgot one of our guys. Joe Picozzi, Republican State
absolutely.
Senator.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't have him on my card, but I definitely was going to mention him because he took the state Senate seat, right?
He took the state Senate seat in Philadelphia. I mean, it's got to be 20-something years since we've had a state senator.
Exactly.
I know Joe personally, and I know he was out there knocking doors. I mean, I don't—
Well, we supported him. We, Shella and the group actually supported him. We stood the test of time because we stood in front of the GOP who did not support him.
I know.
And we supported him. And so I got off the phone this morning and I asked a bunch of them. I said, you know, is it you guys want to work with us or do you guys want this great divide? Because almost they supported Nikki Haley. They supported a bunch of folks, and we just couldn't sit and support those folks. So, you know, and once again, if you're a person who wasn't successful this time, decided to do it again, and we got pretty much a red state, so we can get behind our full force and stuff like that. And, you know, if that's another decision that she decides, you know, to run again.
No, we had our good friend Kathy Buckley out there in Delaware County. Another one knocked on door. Again, who knows how many pairs of shoes she went through, knocking on doors, up and down steps, just working hard. And she fell a little short, although my understanding is her race is not in a recount, but they're doing an investigation into some of the numbers in her returns. But again, I've never met somebody work harder than Kathy Buckley and Joe Picozzi.
Other than Miss Stevenson, from Connecticut to Atlanta, had to make it happen. So,
all right, you got a valid point there. You got me there, buddy. Listen, I want to run something past you, and I want your callers, if you don't mind me throwing a little plug out there. Your callers, so there's a group called Right Count. It's RIGHTCOUNT, and their website is rightcount.org. Now, my understanding is they got heavily involved in this election across the country. And they stayed on top of the fairness. So if anybody's going to come through on the Republican or Democrat side and say, oh, well, this is not a fair election. There was this wrong. These people didn't get their watch certificate, whatever. These people at rightcount.org, they're nonpartisan right down the middle. And I've become a huge fan of them for the past, we'll say 6 months that they've been on top of things.
I'll take a look at it. I'll pull the website
up.
I'll look at it, and then come next week, you give me a call, or we'll talk before then, and we'll see how we could support that initiative. If it's an initiative that we can support right now, we are working on the momentum that we have now in which to build some of the wards in some of the urban neighborhoods like Chester and Newark and East Orange, New Jersey, and Philadelphia. Because we can't have a one-party ward system. We actually have to have a two-party ward system. But we can't have the wards that have the highest group of commodity. So I'm not saying the ones who engage. I'm saying the ones that are deliberately being housed so folks can win elections. And so it proves that they all are not going to vote for poverty. They all are not going to vote Democrat. Just because you're in there in a Democratic environment, they were able to, when I did my press press release a couple of weeks ago, it showed you that between 18-year-olds and 40-year-olds, they were going to vote for Donald Trump. These were actually working poor. These are ones who were working at the school district in the maintenance department, the ones who had the jobs in the family courthouse, pulling trash and stuff like that. They voted for Donald Trump in numbers you wouldn't believe, because folks don't want to tell you the actual average person who lives below poverty who is willing to go to the polls and vote differently. They made it. They tried to make it black or white. You're going to vote for the black woman and not for the white guy. So you're going to vote for anybody that you're going to vote for people who continue to keep you in poverty when you can't feed your kids, when you can't open your refrigerator and find something. Well, a businessman could get you out of poverty faster than somebody just because they're black.
Absolutely. And I, you and I said, I'm
Ms. Stevenson, you want to join in on that? Don't go nowhere, Brian. We got you here for a minute. Ms. Stevenson. Am I right, Ms. Stevenson?
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that's the major push to where we are with everything that Prince and everything that has been done there and organized. And so from a standpoint of Garfield, this is what has to be consistent, right? The allowing people to know that you are a part of the process. We're not serving you at the table. We need to hear your voice. We need your participation. We need you to go out there. We need you to speak boldly and clearly about what it is that you need. And then we need to drive the overall solution in order to make sure that we see those changes like Prince was just talking about for Chester and all the different areas that are taking place and, you know, from that standpoint.
And Ms. Stevenson, as long as I've known Brian, and Brian and I have met in the Republican Party, he's always advocated for that opportunity. Because sometimes they ask me, say, well, why wouldn't they want? And I say, Brian, it's not that they don't want. There's too many people telling them that they can't have.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
So, Brian, I'm going to give you the last word before we let you go. I got another call online. Brian, first, Brian, let me ask you a question. Are you rolling the dice or are you passing them?
You know what I told you last week, buddy, but I'll roll the dice.
I know that's right. All right, Brian, take the last 30 seconds, Brian.
No, listen, guys, you did a great – I love your show. You guys do a great job every week. Every week I tune in. If I can tune in, I'm going to. And I hope more and more people listen to your show. And I do – I think somebody said this morning that people are now saying the quiet part out loud because they're not afraid anymore. They're tired of the mainstream media just bulldozing them with information that they should think versus what they want to think and what they need to think. I think your show is opening people's eyes too. Guys, great job. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Look, I got Ms. Mary on the line. Ms. Mary, are you there?
Yes. Good afternoon, Prince.
Hey, Ms. Mary, how are you? I got Ms. Stevenson on the line as well, Ms. Mary. So I wanted you to say hello to Ms. Stevenson.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ms. Stevenson.
Good afternoon, Ms. Mary. Happy to meet you.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking at, because I'm an elderly person,
yes,
paid into the government system all my life.
Mm.
The same for my parents, you know, and I think a lot of times that people are under the impression that we did not pay into the system.
Right.
You know, with our taxes. Now, I got to pay taxes until the day I die, based on the long period of time that I worked and the income that I generated out of my pension and my Social Security.
And the assessment on your house that was just done by this recent mayor?
Exactly. Exactly. But if you don't pay into the system, I mean, I look at it this way. It was generated for everybody to pay into the system. And if you think because you have a business that you're not going to be affected, what's going on based on the immigration that was orchestrated by a lot of these business owners. I'm looking at what's going on now is when they're talking about mass deportation.
What do you think about New York? What do you think about what he just did in New York? He just voted. No, he didn't vote. He just implemented a system that will not pay the immigrants who he's been housing for months inside of the swanky hotel. As of next month, December, they will not get a payment at all. So what happens to those people? What do you think will happen to those people or is going to happen to those people?
You know what? Probably what happened, they looked at the system because we turned everything over to the religious organizations and the nonprofits after Ronald Reagan was in office. He was the president. Mm-hmm. We were in a recession. Mm-hmm. And we generated a system for every business, every landlord to check, e-verify. That, based on the documents that a lot of people were able to obtain, they are illegal documents, the green cards, the social security numbers, cards. Mm-hmm. And these people provided this to the business organizations, the landlord, acting like they were illegal in the government, that they were legal in the country.
So let me ask you this question.
And they were not. They were not.
Let me ask you this question, Ms. Mary. So if we were to have folks who could identify those folks who have received green cards illegally or Social Security cards illegally, what is your suggestion?
Okay, you're going to have to identify them because we have no idea who's in the country now. Mm-hmm. You make sure that and this is for not only immigrants.
Do we send them back?
It's for everybody.
What do we do with them? Do we send them back? It's what I'm asking because when you started the call, you talked about mass deportation, and I'm saying that folks for the last year or so have accumulated themselves to the United States. And so my question to you is, once you find out that they have no legal documents to be here, what do we do? I want to hear from your voice, because I said at breakfast this morning, I said, well, if you were to shoot and kill someone, what would you be charged with?
You know, we went through the same thing under Reagan. We had 5 million undocumented people in the country. Mm-hmm. And they said that what we did was harsh against the people. What Reagan did, he allowed them to come out of the shadows with their landlord and employer. Because you're not in this country illegally unless you have a place to live and a place of employment.
Because sponsors.
Reagan made it illegal under the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986. You can look it up. He made it illegal for you as a citizen and for you as a legal immigrant in this country. He made it illegal for you to hire these people. They made it illegal for you to rent to them. And what we did was, not only did we had them to come out of the shadows, we made them temporary residents if they agreed to pay the back taxes and the penalty with the landlord and the employer. If they failed to do so, we confiscated the assets that they had. Mm. We confiscated the businesses that were generated by them. We confiscated every property, industries, factories. This is what we did under Ronald Reagan because we were in a recession and the people were here illegally.
So, Ms. Mary.
Now we have no idea who's in the country
right.
now.
So, Ms. Mary, now I'm going to take another break. I don't want you to go nowhere because I got to ask you this question. Are we holding the dice or are we rolling the dice?
No, I'm always.
You always
now,
rolling?
You know I'm always rolling.
I want you to hold on. I'm gonna take a 1 minute break. I'm gonna come back with you and Ms. Stevenson. And Ms. Stevenson, I want you to elaborate on what Ms. Mary was talking about. Is that okay?
Absolutely. You got it.
Take a minute break.
Others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing 1 million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. To fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our new deal for animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world for all of us.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money.
Well, when you're sitting at the table,
there'll be time enough to count
when the deal is
done.
Okay, we're back. Miss Stevenson, you heard Miss Mary. Now, Miss Mary, don't go nowhere. You heard what Miss Mary said, and I'm telling you, Miss Mary has been like a historian when it comes to understanding levels of government that had that had existed either prior to, either before us or that had some similarities of what's going on along the way. So what do you think about what Miss Mary said?
What she said was absolutely correct, and what's going to end up happening, what I believe may end up happening now, is that we have to reassess the Department of the Department of Social Services, the Department of Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. We have to look at everyone that was put in charge of doing the overall intake process, how they process them, how they determine how much they should get, how they determine who the landlord should be, how they determine who the hotels should be. How did they get those government contracts? How did they have to qualify? There has to be a track record. But the one thing that Miss Mary said out of all those things is there's no universal application form which allows every department within the government system to track one another. They're all on their own automated systems. And so when it comes time to see who is responsible for what, and especially with this administration, that's where we're going to have the problem, because they don't have a clear-cut direction of who was responsible for what. And that's where the finger-pointing is going to go.
Ms. Mary?
But from our... Go ahead, Ms. Mary.
You know, we do have a system in place. It's called labor and industry. And when we get the jobs report every month, you know, we compare the stats where... I mean, you can say I created a million jobs. We look to see on our system under E-Verify if those people should be the same, that you did the research.
The work. Correct.
With the same level, exactly, and the same with the landlords. We have a system in place. You're just not using it. And
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. The systems are not being put together to be utilized. So this is what's happening. We're putting immigrants, illegal immigrants, to work with laborers. And what we're saying is they're fulfilling the need of those jobs that Black Americans or Latino Americans or minorities don't want to have. And then what we end up finding is that we might have a person working on a construction site, and they might be doing 80 to 100 hours. And that person that they're working for is only paying them 20 hours of the 80 or the 100 hours that they might be putting in there. And then they put them, their back against the wall to say, who are you going to report to because you're illegal? And so when we have all of these different systems, meaning Health and Human Services, Department of Defense, Department of Labor, Department of Energy, Homeland Security, they all have their separate systems that in fact are not talking to work collectively together, which is making it hard for us to curate that data to hold the responsible parties responsible.
So, Ms. Mary, I'm going to ask Ms. Mary this. Ms. Mary, so under this administration, we have some opportunities to put people at the table. And so when we put these people at the table, we're not asking for full-time employment. But would you be willing to volunteer in some capacity, a meaningful capacity? I'm talking about auditing purposes. I'm talking about looking at data purposes. I'm talking about just to get this system right. Because the people who have looked like you and probably have, you might have voted for, have made it their business not just to get the system wrong, but to keep it wrong, to keep hiding, to keep moving the shell game. They keep moving the ball. You know, I went on one site. It's an open shop. What's an open shop? Is it union or is it not union? Why are these guys working at 7 o'clock in the morning under the noise ordinance? They can't start to 8:30. What are we doing? Why are they on weekends? Why are they on holidays? Like, who's paying for this? Where's the check-in part? Like, where do they? Why aren't they signing in before they go on this construction site? How come there's no hard hats? You got a PPE, you know, personal protection equipment sign up there. Where the surveillance at? I got surveillance around the whole perimeter that says surveillance, but yet I don't have no cameras up. I don't have no drones up. I don't have anything up. And so would you be interested? Because this is if we can go viral with somebody being stomped and kicked outside a nightclub, surely we can go viral on some of these construction sites that have the appearance of safety, have the appearance of security, but yet in the outcome, there is none. I'm talking about North Philly. You got four different construction contractors, GCs, that have all been hit with merchandise being stolen. One lost close to $60,000 worth of stuff. I mean, they just put all the cabinets in the U-Haul truck and drove away with them for the whole site. Now what was who was securing that site, and where were the cameras at? And so, Miss Mary, help me out with this.
Go ahead, that there.
Chris, you have to look at this. This fraud is being done on a city level.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, right. And right. This is why we integrated everything, and so. But you have to have a high security clearance to get the information. I did investigations for the state. Mm-hmm. I had a high security clearance. We connected every aspect of the country. All the financial institutions, the CIA, the FBI, we integrated everything. Only thing we have to do is put in your identifying information. Yeah. And the documents that you provided to us, we can retrieve your entire history from the day that you were born until the day that you died. So we have the apparatus in place. The only Correct. Thing that we required from regular citizens that you use the system that we provided to you, which was E-Verify, when we could know who was in this country illegally. Right. Well, because not when you cheat the system like this and not using the apparatus that we provided right. to you, you're putting everybody at risk.
Come on, Miss Mary.
And I've always said this, 9/11 wouldn't have never happened if they had adhered to the system that we provided to you.
Well, Miss Mary,
you know, we had people that were in the country that were attending a university,
mm-hmm.
and they dropped out of the university. They had the information. They never notified the government when they dropped out. The same people took flight lessons.
Yeah, started taking flight lessons. But look, Miss Mary, I'm going to have to let you go. Thank you for rolling. Thank you for calling Life is a Gamble. Every Monday from 2 to 3, you know you got a home here. So thank you very much. I'm going to give you the last 10 seconds, and then I'm going to go to my next caller.
All right. I just hope that what you're looking for is going to be done, because all parties were involved with this.
Okay.
And if you don't do what you're required to do by law, and use the system that we provided to you, then you're putting everybody in harm's way. Thank you, and you have a good day.
Thanks, Ms. Mary. I appreciate you so much. Ms. Stevenson, so there needs to be some gatekeepers of our
Correct.
Own out here. Because when you listen to Ms. Mary, she's been gatekeeping for a long time, you know. And you didn't hear her say, I'm upset that this orange man won or this orange man this. Or this. She didn't say anything derogatory or negative about the election. How about that? And the whole day has gone that way, from preachers to politicians. They knew that there was going to be a day of reckoning, and they didn't have a problem with this. Not like the media tried to make it before he won. Am I correct?
That's it. That's why we're calling it the Day of Jubilee. We're in the Jubilee. You know, we're in a Jubilee reset at this present moment, and people are fully waking up. they're awoken.
If you call this our Juneteenth, they will go off.
I'm telling you what it is. Listen, you know, the mandate is the mandate. And no matter who is in office, we serve a higher power. It is what it is. God is who he is.
That's what you said. That's what you said last week on this show right here before the election. He was like, look, I serve a mighty God, and a mighty God does not let me down, you know.
No, he does not. He's not going to let his people down.
Realize who your mighty God beat. Your mighty God beat the sororities. Your mighty God beat the weak guys of these fraternities who just wanted to do what the sorority folks wanted to do. You beat the ones who compromised themselves to make a movie or two, and you know, to have a hit record or two, and you know, been to different places they shouldn't have been in, and somehow for the one that you are calling all the names with, you know, it's almost like when you shoot basketball and you call a foul, you go to the free throw line, and it says the rim don't lie when you miss. You know, well, when you make both of them, then the rim tell the truth. You actually got fouled. And so is it going to be hard for them? No, but do now people look at them differently, like they liars, like they wasn't telling the truth? Like you know.
I believe so, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by mm-hmm. that. So right now you're looking at the fact that they're saying, okay, Kamala raised $1 billion and now she's $20 million in the hole.
Mm.
And so how is that possible? Let me say it this way. I get the ability to be taught by a powerful man and woman of God, Dr. Darryl and Dr. Belinda Scott. And mm-hmm. then I get to work intensively in the community on behalf of the principles that were taught from a biblical standpoint
mm-hmm.
From New Spirit Revival Center. And it's not about, they don't put us in a position to browbeat people because they made a decision or maybe they went in a different direction. They put us in a position to help people learn from the choices and the decisions that they've made in hopes that they'll implement it and do something better and something greater and something different. In their life, opposed
their purpose.
To
their life has purpose. As long as mercy and grace exist, your life has the kind of purpose that would go beyond man understanding. Man won't understand this. You know, it's not for him to understand.
This is what's going to happen with the people right now. They were in their emotions. They were a little upset. They were a little frustrated. But they're going to see that their voice does matter. They're mm-hmm. going to see that this show is so powerful. From a standpoint of life is a gamble. And life is a gamble because it's either, like you say, it's either you're going to roll the dice or you're going to let somebody else do it for you.
Mm.
And I believe people have made a decision that it's time for me to do for me what I could always do because God gave me the ability to do it, opposed to letting somebody else direct mm. my life. And what they're going to learn, what we're doing here, is we're coming together. I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, Tea Party, Green Party, Yellow Party. We're saying, what are your thoughts and how can we solve it together?
Right.
Because that's what President Trump is doing. That's what Garfield is doing. That's what Life is a Gamble is doing. That's what Prince is doing. And that's why I'm standing 10 toes down with you from Chester and everything else. Everybody's getting ready. I was sharing with Dr. Scott not too long ago as we're finishing up the Philadelphia Manifesto. Philadelphia, y'all better get ready.
Mm-hmm.
There's some powerful initiatives that are going through and being written in the white papers that are being designed. And it's not about just everybody else. It's about us being able to build together, like Miss Mary
clearly,
Scott said.
Clearly. And I thank you so much because the opportunity to speak on a show has humbled me more so than me always wanting to go into the fire. I always want to find out where mm-hmm. the damage has been done and going in to fix it. And then
that's right.
When you learn this game of politics, you know, you learn how to strategically pick and choose your fight, pick and choose your battle, strategically move in a way where they don't see you coming. They really didn't see, they really fell asleep at the wheel. And this is the opportunity that you take when you see the left hand drop and you throw the right hook. You intend to give it all you got. They did
That's
not.
It.
They we did not. We did not hold back when we went after when we supported Trump and went after Casey, you had to give him everything with the kitchen sink and everything. It is not just tearing down the blue wall. And it's not embarrassing because he's been in office 27 years. So nothing's embarrassing about a loss. You know, right. I mean, you know, you can leave gracefully. 27 years is a long time. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
But the fact that you didn't want to leave. And an election, and votes encouraged you to leave. Well, and that's dynamic. Right. Then I think people should stand up and take a bow, you know, because that doesn't happen often, you know, and it just shows.
It does not happen often, and you got to take a look at that over 20 mm-hmm. something years, and off. That means there's a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. That means there's a lot of deals that have been made. That means that there's going to be a lot of shifts. And where people's dollars were going or how they were getting paid or how they were getting contracts. People are very much aware of what that means, you know, especially those small groups. And those small groups are recognizing that the bigger groups have said, I'm tired of not going home fed. I'm working and I'm still not going home fed, but I'm watching the same people get fed over and over and over again and telling me that my life is getting better. I just don't see it yet.
Ms. Stevenson, he look at this situation right here. Folks believed in the myth because they've never met the man.
That's right.
27 years. I was in Chester and he came to visit Chester, right? And he visited Chester and Chester is 37 years in receivership. And he didn't lay out a plan to take them out of receivership. He didn't lay out a plan. What he said was, can I count on you to vote for me?
And that's the thing when I said to Dr. Scott, I said, Dr. Scott, Chester, one of the things that Philly is looking for us to be able to work on is the receivership of this being for over 30 years being in receivership, predominantly Black. Mm-hmm. Being in relationship and not having the individuals in place to fight for it so that it can stand on its own two feet and thrive.
And they we have a little bit, not a lot. We're talking the recovery fund has trillions of dollars inside of it. We're right. talking $200 million. We're talking put together two schools, the only two HBCUs, Black occupied schools, both Lincoln and Cheney. And put Villanova and Widener, since Widener is the home of where Chester is. Put them schools
Correct.
Together. Let them come with a recovery plan. Give them enough money. You know, $200 million, you know, it doesn't have to be split equally, but they got to get millions of dollars in order to stay in their own lane and bring all this to the table on how we could recover the first town in Pennsylvania was Chester.
And that was the thing that blew me away. The first town in Pennsylvania, being Chester, being mm-hmm. predominantly of color,
mm-hmm.
being in receivership, mm-hmm. no funding going towards it to support it, but everybody eating from it, eating off of it, but nobody physically supporting
it. The budget is $53 million, and they got a high school two boroughs over. That high school budget is $110 million. The whole town, 33,000 people, have a budget of $53 million and two towns over, just the high school.
But these are the conversations that the world doesn't get to hear about. These are the things that are happening on a daily basis that people are thinking that it's non-existent because people want us to live in fairy tale worlds. Mm. Well, this is where we get to work with PA. Garfield gets to stand 10 toes down mm-hmm. and we get to come up and design those overall plans that Dr. Scott can go ahead and comfortably be able to say, this is what we need for this community. This is what needs to happen here. You know, I want to say to your listeners today.
Well, we got a minute left, so I'm going to take the minute and talk to my listeners.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, the Garfield Project, you can visit us at www.garfieldproject.org. We have a membership base, whether you're an individual, community, organization, municipality. You have the ability to join us so that you can participate in legislation. You can participate in the writing of your ideas and bills. You can participate in the roundtable discussions. But most importantly, you can make an impact in your community. Dr. Scott invites you to come on out to be a part of this nationwide movement so that your community will not be the same, but it will be greater and better than what you ever expect for generations to come.
So I want to thank you. Every Monday, you got a home here from 2 to 3 on Life is a Gamble. Thank you for calling in. Please call in next week. Continue to fight. And congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to